1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
Welcome to Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest. I am Allison DeLuel, and of course, I am not John Henry, but happy to be here. And we have two wonderful people here with us today. We have John Henry, another John Henry.
Hello.
And we have Maria.
Hello.
Awesome. Welcome, welcome. Great show today. We are going to be talking about the 12 days of Christmas and how it starts now. So can't wait to dive into that topic. But could one of you all start us with a prayer, please?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our Lord and King, Christ, guide our tongues today in your word, that those in most need of you can hear you in us. Gird us in your armor, that we resist all temptations to love ourselves more than thou, and forge us into your sword, that we may cleave the world unto you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. 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 Now, before we dive into the topic, since we are all new here, we get to talk about some interesting facts about ourselves. So, John Henry, why don't you start?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, fun fact number one, I am John Henry. I might not look like John Henry, but I am John Henry.
Marvelous.
I'm just a different John Henry.
Yeah.
I think that's a fact, and it's very fun. I am the OCIA coordinator at St. Luke's Parish in Dahlonega, Georgia.
Awesome.
I've been working with the program for about 4 years now. And in Dahlonega, I am known as the running man at the local university. I run up there in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And I've been doing it for so long.
You're talking North Georgia University?
Yeah, North Georgia, yeah. UNG. Yeah. That when I run into some of the students up there, they're like, are you? You're the running man.
That is hilarious.
You're that guy I see in the morning every single day.
Love it.
And you're wearing knee-high socks and little short shorts? I'm like, yeah, that's me.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
The only one.
Yeah. Got to see a picture.
So, yeah, those would be my three fun facts.
I'm engaged.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. First fun fact. We're getting married in 22 days. I think that's right. My fiance is actually a convert. He was just confirmed in the faith in May, so that'll be
wonderful.
My second fun fact. And then a third fact. I never really know how to talk about myself, I guess, but...
What parish do you attend?
I go to St. Luke's here in Dahlonega.
Okay, St. Luke's as well. Yeah. Okay, great, great.
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, I go to St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock, Georgia. So I took a little trip out here to come see you all, which is fun. It's gorgeous out here in Dahlonega. Love it. Another fun fact is I hold a record for the highest field goal percentage at Sequoia High School. It still stands. So there you go. I like basketball.
Nice. Awesome.
And truly another amazing fact is I actually was in Lisieux, France on the feast day of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Was in the Basilica. It was heavenly, heavenly, heavenly. So those are some neat facts about me.
Allison, I really appreciate that you introduced yourself, because I was going to step in here and say, hey, who is this lady that's helping us out today?
I know, yeah.
But I just want to take a moment before we move forward to let everybody know, if you can, if you're listening on the radio or if you're listening on our podcast, head on over to the YouTube, which is youtube.com/@honest2, and that's the number 2, God. And hit the subscribe button, like this video, give us a comment down below. We're trying to grow. It is the 12 days of Christmas. We want to spread the Christmas joy to all of our listeners.
Amen.
So, yeah. And welcome, Allison, for filling in for John Henry Spann, who is off doing something else today.
A little disclaimer, if you're driving right now, do not go to youtube.com to try and watch this. As the legal advisor to Honest to God, this John Henry says, do not do this while you're driving.
Okay, well, we have a new legal advisor who I've just learned about. And yes, I usually do
safety first.
And I forgot to.
Safety first, right? So how is your Advent going so far, guys?
Oh, so I could go on all day. And so you're going to have to hush me up to talk about this.
We can't wait to hear all about it.
So Advent is so severely misunderstood in this day and age. That so far, I will say that I have the expectation and the anticipation that Advent is going to be a wonderful time of expectation and anticipation. We kind of look at Christmas as being this one day event,
which it's not,
right? And then it's just over. You know, it's like you have your Christmas feast and then it's Christmas hangover, and I'm done. Everything's 50% off at the Walmart.
Yes,
I need to run over there really quick to get my mint nougats, and then I'm
yum,
good.
Yum.
I'm covered. Right. Our Advent, you know, this is our anticipation of Christ's birth, and so what goes into this preparation is really a time of penance. It's a time of penitence, you know, and historically the church during this time we fasted. In fact, I was looking back into notes to kind of get an idea for this. Mm-hmm. We used to fast on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday throughout all of Advent.
Wow.
And up until in the United States, of course, because every area is going to be a little different. The bishops can set different rules, right?
Yeah.
So up until the 1840s, we fasted on Wednesdays and Fridays here in the U.S. during Advent. Mm-hmm. Up until 1912, we fasted on Fridays. And then they abrogated that fast. And so we would have basically, not too long ago, we would have been, as adult Catholics, would have been fasting three times a week during this Advent season. And all in that anticipation, that desire, and knowing that the Lord is coming.
Mm.
And when the Lord comes, of course, he's promised us that he will judge us, the living and the dead. So we are approaching this in a very penitential spirit.
I'm so glad you shared that, because I truly did not know that during that season that there was any fasting going on. I know we're going to reconciliation and getting ourselves ready for the birth of Christ, but oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And of course, now it's not mandatory.
Yeah.
But you're still motivated. You're still urged to take these upon individually.
Yeah.
You know, if you can, then please do during this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason that one candle in the... when the four is pink or rose. Sorry if I said
rose. Rose.
Because Jesus rose from the dead.
It's rose. Yeah, it's rose. For Gaudete Sunday, and there's very much a reason. It's because of that's rejoice or joys.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the rest of those, the purple candles, those candles that are colored of royalty, the expectation of a penitent spirit. Mm-hmm. Right? And then you have this third Sunday in Advent, which is... it's happy time, right?
Yes.
Because now we're almost there. Christ is almost here. And at that point, we should just be almost unable to contain ourselves in our excitement.
For the arrival of the Lord.
Yeah. So this is a great time. Now, I don't do very good at fasting. I don't know about you all. It's
tough. Struggle too.
Yeah.
We can work on this together.
I can abstain so much easier. It's like, oh, me? Okay, I can do that. But if you tell me, don't eat anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. I made it 10 minutes.
The anticipation is thinking about it. You're like, oh my gosh.
But it is something, it's a beautiful thing to be able to do. A group of us did fast just Friday.
Nice.
And a true old school fast, liquid only. And it was really tough.
Wow.
Especially when the sun came down. Boy, that was like, okay, give
the
it to
munchies.
God. Yeah. And this was, but a wonderful beginning to the Advent season, you know.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. What about you, Maria?
I've been also told about like fasting and such during Advent, but it's only been in the past couple of years that really came to my attention from one of my priests down when I was living in Brunswick, Georgia for a little bit. But he also stated that we could take up something as well. And so adding to your prayer life or donating to charity or one other big thing we focused on was maybe getting diapers for the local pregnancy center.
Yes.
And so that was always something that I always like to try to add. But I focused more on the prayer life because I was a broke college student at the time. So now I still try to pick up the adding maybe the three Hail Mary devotion to my morning or a rosary once a week because. I'm the typical Catholic who says they pray the rosary, but not every day.
talking about that, when I was in France, I went to Lourdes as well. Mm-hmm. And I went to, you go to confession, you go to mass, and, I was bathed in the waters there. And talking about the rosary, when I went to confession, the priest asked me, Allison, or he didn't say my name, he didn't know who I was, but he said, do you go to mass on Sundays? And I was like, yes, I do. And then he was like, do you pray the rosary daily? And I was like, I try to. And he looked at me like, oh my goodness gracious. So when you talk about the rosary, I have really kicked it into gear, praying the rosary and just focusing on that and just listening to it on an app, you know, it's a beautiful thing, just putting it on there. So
do you all do the St. Andrew novena during Advent?
No. What is that?
So there's a St. Andrew prayer. It's really, truly short. I think it's like 3 or 4 sentences, but you pray it 15 times per day, every day of Advent.
Okay.
And so it starts on, because Advent typically starts around St. Andrew's feast day.
Okay.
And so you ask for the intercession for, you know, one thing. So for yourself, maybe for your wedding, you know. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that after the, you know, 27 days or 25 days, depending on how long Advent is for that year.
Yeah.
That this intercessory request, you know, that God is listening and God will answer in that appropriate way. But it's, you could Google it and just type in St. Andrew's Novena, and it's just very specific. This is the only time of the year we do this, but 15 times a day, every day of Advent.
Well, I love it. Our prayer partners, right? I mean, calling on the intercession of the saints, absolutely amazing way to tie that into Advent as well. So Julian, how about you? What have you guys been doing in this Advent? How is it going?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I love what you talked about with the, I'm now operating a camera and talking at the same time. This is wonderful. Yeah, thanks. So our family, what we like to do is also fasting. And I did Exodus 90 a few years ago, which really sets up a great plan for how to fast. Oh. And so it's one meal per day when you're in a fasting day, and then 2 small meals, which is essentially like a snack. So I would usually go with peanuts or maybe like a piece of fruit. Mm-hmm. But so the fasting thing is so, so important. And I continue that throughout the year, and I give grace to the fact that I did Exodus 90, because now it's just it's throughout the year. And then the practice is easier when it comes down to Advent, and I'm leading my family through. I'm like, hey, look, I do this all year. You guys got this. And so that's something that we do.
So what is Exodus 90?
Yeah, that's a good question. So Exodus 90 is 90 days of hyper-intensive spiritual kind of leading, if you will. You have to do cold showers every time you take a shower. You abstain from TV, video games, unnecessary electronics. So if you have work for email and stuff like that, then you can go on there. And then, of course, there's fasting on Fridays and Wednesdays. Wow. And that includes meat and a typical fast. So that it's all throughout the time. And then you're supposed to exercise 3 times a week as well.
Nice.
And that's it.
And it's look at that. Boot
very
camp.
Intense. And it worked really well. It was 90 days. You're with a team. You're not just doing it alone.
Which
and then
nice.
You come together. You're like, oh, I failed. I was playing on my cell phone. I was watching YouTube. And the greatest thing is on Sundays during that 90-day period, you get to pick one of your asceticism principles, which is those different things that you can relax for that day. So a lot of people would say, oh, I'm going to watch football on Sundays. So they would do the TV.
Wow.
Yeah. It's also no alcohol and a couple of other things. So it's very intense, very intense. We can put the link down in the show notes for
absolutely.
It.
Is it for men and women?
There is one for women that does not involve cold showers.
Oh, okay.
We allow the women to continue to take their
hot
showers.
That's so kind of them, right?
Yeah. And it's cool. I still continue to have my children have to, my boys, have to earn hot showers.
Oh.
They have to earn them. I'm like, if you're going to use my hot water, my energy, you're going to have to earn that hot showers. So they do take a lot of cold showers.
Oh my goodness gracious. I love how you get the family involved too.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Oh,
it's
that's
fun.
Beautiful. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Thanks for asking.
Oh, my pleasure. We have to ask. We all need to be sharing.
That's right.
No, it's amazing. And you know, it's crazy because how we were talking, a lot of people think that, you know, Christmas ends on Christmas Day, you know, and people have their Christmas decorations. Yeah. They've had them up for so long, you know, and when Christmas comes, the tree goes away. Yep. Everything goes away. And we get a real tree each year, which I love. Mm-hmm. There's something about a real tree that just makes me happy. You know, I can just look at it with the lights on. But we keep it up through the whole Christmas season. Mm-hmm. You know, the Epiphany and then, you know, the final one, Candlemas, which is also the presentation.
Yes, sure.
So it's, what other kind of traditions do you all have in regards to Advent
so
and Christmas?
So growing up, we would put the tree out early.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at this point, I don't. I put up my Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. And I say I put up the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. Now, that doesn't mean I put up my Jesse tree on Christmas Eve.
Yes, Jesse tree.
So I use the same tree for both. Okay, so throughout Advent, we're going through salvation history with the ornaments and scriptural reading. If you're not familiar with the Jesse tree.
Yeah, share that.
So you might find one of these kind of artificial or something you put on the wall, something easy for children, but it doesn't have to be. You can use a tree, and you would put an ornament on your tree every day as one part of salvation history. Adam and Eve, Noah, something related.
Yeah.
To that development up towards Christ. And the very last is going to be Christ in the manger, right? And so every day you're placing one of these ornaments. If you have children, this can be something that children are involved with. There's ways to kind of put this with other little activities like Advent angels. But with the Jesse tree on Christmas Eve, the tree is now, it's there. It has some ornaments on it. Well, now you can just decorate it with your other ornaments, and it becomes from Jesse tree to a Christmas tree.
Wow.
Right? So that's the way that I kind of do that, and I'm able to I don't have the Christmas tree up in December, but there is a tree, right, the Jesse, and then afterwards it stays throughout the Christmas season, like yours. Yeah, I don't take it down until, well, it's either, it's so brown it needs to come down.
Are you not wearing it? Ginger ale or sprayed in the water. Come on.
or like I said, candle mass. Although some people will take it down to the baptism of the Lord, which is just a few days after Epiphany.
Yeah.
But traditionally, I think you're right. Christmas tide would go all the way to February 2nd.
Yeah. No, it's
so
amazing.
Candle mass. Yeah.
How about you, Maria?
For us, we grew up with like an Advent calendar.
Okay.
Like, we always stuck up the tree like the day after Thanksgiving. And so that was our like big thing, like, hey, we're all still home. Like there's no school right now. Like let's all put up the tree, go down to the shed, get all the ornaments and whatnot. And then we had this Advent calendar that we'd go through, like, through the Advent season, but we had one that hung on the wall. So we'd add little bits to the nativity scene until Christmas. Then we'd add baby Jesus to the manger. And then also had like these like books, like where it has like the story of like, like the, starting with like the Annunciation, going to Jesus's birth, and so we'd go through those each night. So there's 24 of those. So up until like Christmas Eve, we'd be reading those along with putting the Advent calendar up. And then we usually took down decorations around the Epiphany. So I think that was like right before we all went back to school. So I think that was probably the main reason.
More help,
but
family event.
But yeah, it was usually we recognize through the Epiphany. I like to personally kind of like look at it through the presentation now. Like, I don't have, like, Christmas decorations up much or anything because I've been going through school and, like, moving so much that it's just, like, I haven't been able to accumulate that yet.
Yeah.
So maybe once I'm married, like, I'll be able to start those traditions will be my husband and my our family. But, yeah, I kind of like the idea of it going to, like, the presentation in the temple because that's like recognized as like our baptism, like, you know, our presentation in the church baptism. And so it's like the, you know, like the rebirth, but like we can like recognize that as like our rebirth, like during that time too.
No, absolutely. And when you understand all that, it makes sense, you know, and just understanding what we're celebrating, what we're, you know, anticipating, what we're waiting on. I mean, that's truly the key of appreciating Advent and going into the Christmas season, not just Christmas Day. Going to mass and then we're done.
And I think so. The you know, we're, as Catholics, there's some axioms that we live by. So action follows being. You know, what we do reflects who we are, right? Or another way the church would tie would be like would say lex orandi, lex credendi. The way you pray is the way you believe, right? So this makes sure that we live a very liturgical life. So what we do truly matters, and it reflects what we believe as Catholics. So the Christmas season being day one, being Christmas Day.
Yes.
So we're not just celebrating and finishing, we're celebrating for days. And if you think of Advent as this time of waiting and anticipation, if you've been waiting for eternity for something that you desire so bad to happen, and you know, we'll go back in scripture and look at the book of Isaiah and look
how badly they were waiting,
and anticipating, which is why we read Isaiah during this time so heavily. That when it arrives, you don't just want to celebrate a single day and then be like, okay, we're done.
No.
You want to celebrate for a long period of time. Why? Because not only is this Christ mm-hmm. the King who's arrived,
yeah.
but
mm-hmm.
also you've put so much in that anticipation, your desire, you're waiting for so long.
Yes.
Why celebrate for one day?
No, I know.
You know, you'd celebrate for multiple days. And that's mm-hmm. what we do. You know, we celebrate for multiple days. And there's things the church tells us, you know, those the octave of Christmas, the 12 days of Christmas,
yes.
these different feasts that we have to celebrate. Even the Epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Epiphany is the arrival of the three kings.
Yes.
You know, typically we kind of have this image of the three kings arriving when Jesus is born.
Mm-hmm.
That's
not
the case.
Mm-mm.
And it was after Jesus was born. It could have been 6 days, as St. Augustine said, or it could have been 2 years later.
Yeah.
But now we have an opportunity to celebrate the three kings in the season of Christmas, right? So you can have your king's cake and have a Christmas celebration.
At the same time.
At the same time. Because
oh, yeah.
it's Christmas. And so, you know, we're all about being penitent, but we're
yes.
also about feasting.
Celebrating and feasting.
We celebrate.
Absolutely.
That's who we are. And so that Christmas season is going to continue. And so I think it's really important. You know, I always think back to, you know, the fish sandwich over at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, filet of fish whenever Lent comes out. Yes.
You know, that was created for Catholics.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So McDonald's sees this reason like, hey, we're losing money on
yes.
this Friday
yeah.
because Catholics aren't eating meat.
Yeah.
So let's create this sandwich and we're going to bring that money back to
yes.
us.
Yes.
If Catholics were to live out their faith in this manner,
yeah.
the world will follow. I mean,
yes.
they'll hate us for a while, but the world will follow.
Transformation.
Yep. So if we started actually celebrating Christmas on Christmas Day and going forward,
yeah.
maybe Walmart wouldn't have 50% off nuggets right after.
I
you know?
Yes.
They would be like, no, because those Catholic folks, they're still celebrating Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And it could rub off, too, if we were truly living out our faith
absolutely.
And following everything. Yeah, other people would see it and go, oh, my gosh. Because I think a lot of people have no idea.
That's true.
They just yeah. take the stuff down and they think it's over.
And our grandparents did, I think.
Yeah.
There's a book we were talking about earlier by Maria von Trapp.
Yes,
and
yes.
So in the 50s and 60s, she's writing in 40s of their family traditions, and they knew these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were putting up their Christmas tree on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
They were waiting for Christmas music till Christmas Eve. You know, they were going to Mass multiple times a day on Christmas Day. There was this acknowledgement and then the continuation of that
yes.
celebration for several days.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there was definitely this understanding that right now we don't seem to have. And it's difficult. I mean, I work in a public-facing position. And during this time, people are like, I'm bringing you Christmas cookies. You know?
Here's
Christmas cake. And you're like, it sure does look good.
Can we call it Advent?
Advent I'm cookies. Saving those treats, too. Please tell me you're not eating them yet.
So it is hard, and we're so used to it. And, of course, there's this amount of joy that is associated
yeah.
with Christmas that is contagious from
yes.
folks around us that might not be Catholic,
yes.
but are looking at Christmas and they're like, I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's hard to not feed off that energy and want to partake. And I imagine, you know, I don't have any children myself, but if I did, it'd be hard to make that decision to say, I don't want my children
mm-hmm.
to partake in the Christmas festivities because it's not Christmas yet, which in actuality, that's true.
Yeah.
And we should mm-hmm. because we don't just have one day. We have multiple
yes.
days. So we can make that kind of sacrifice during Advent and say, yeah, we're going to party. It's just we're going to party December 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, the 29th, the 30th, onward and onward.
Yes.
You know, and in that case, you're not giving up anything. You're like, hey, you guys should come party with us.
Yes.
And we're celebrating all the time.
Yes.
You know?
No, it is. It's amazing. Yeah. I have three kids.
Okay.
So, yeah. So as they were growing, they're middle school and high school now, and
yeah.
actually one more in elementary. And it was hard.
Yeah.
It still is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Everybody is having gatherings and parties
mm-hmm.
beforehand.
Employee parties.
Yes,
right?
yes.
Yeah.
But what I focus on is Jesus. Just when we're going to Mass, right? Who's in the tabernacle?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that's the Lord. This is his birthday. So I'm always punching that in there, explaining to them what's going on and even the activities. And
one
nativity, you know, bringing out the nativity scene.
One of my favorite traditions.
Yes.
And I'm going to share this if you've never heard it, because when you have children, you're going to do this.
Okay.
So, because we mentioned the three kings.
Yes.
Right? And so, earlier someone mentioned that they I think this might have been John Henry in a previous episode, actually. They move around the three kings throughout the room during Advent. Now, it's awesome. Let the kids do it. I take it a step further. I've heard others, they do it all year.
Wow.
So all year long, once a month, you would move the Three Kings because the distance they must have traveled, they probably were actually on the road
for a long time.
So throughout the year, you could have your kids moving the Three Kings throughout the house and getting closer and closer because you're building the whole liturgical year. This is the beginning of the liturgical year.
Yes, it is.
So now you're building closer towards Christ's arrival. Yeah, and of course, you don't have them in the manger either, right?
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, we are going to be taking a break.
Allison's microphone just did something really weird.
So.
We're about to take a break, so if you can, comment down below your favorite Christmas tradition, 12 days of Christmas tradition, or Advent tradition. What have you been doing for your family? And also, if you are listening and you're like, I'm not doing anything for Advent, that's okay, too. Take one of these things that you've heard today and apply them to your family. It's okay. We're all on this journey together. So anyway, I think Allison's fixed her microphone.
I'm fixed. There we go. Right.
Yeah, you have 2 minutes. So, yeah, if you have anything else to say, or I can keep going. It's on you. Yeah.
Well, Julian. Well, just share what you must have something on your heart and mind.
Oh, I mean, I always have things on my heart and mind. It's okay, but I really do want to see some more comments. Our show has been growing really, really well, and one of the things that we've noticed about the growth of the show is when you are commenting down below, when you're hitting that like button or hitting the share button on YouTube. But keep in mind, there's other ways that you can listen. You can listen on the Quest app.
Yes.
You can listen on our podcast. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're also featured on EWTN. So we are growing, and we want to bring you along with us, and we want you to bring your friends and family who you love and you want to see grow in faith. And that's what we're here for. So just keep on helping out the show, helping out your brothers and sisters.
Amen. And seriously, if you have not heard, share what you do, you know, for Advent and for the Christmas time season. So share with us so we can learn from you as well, because I'm sure there are many more activities that we can be doing out there.
Mm-hmm. Gosh. Wow, we are just having a lot of spiritual warfare. I just fell into my lap. I don't know what is going on. This is quite the episode. I love
the devil doesn't like the truth.
No,
you're right. But we're having a good time.
We are preparing.
Okay.
Yeah. We still have about 30 seconds left, Allison.
Okay.
So what's final parting words before we go to break?
You know what? The final parting words before we go to break.
I will say this. Final parting words. I wish Epiphany was on the 6th this year, as it is everywhere else in the world, instead of on the 5th.
Yeah. Well,
I will. That's parting words.
That's great parting words. Well, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Honest to God on AM 1160 The Quest. We will be right back.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
Welcome back to Honest to God, a production of The Quest Atlanta Catholic Radio. I am Allison DeLule, and I have Maria, and I've got John Henry here.
Hello.
Hello.
So we were talking during the break, Maria, and you have something else that you did during Advent, or you do still. So can you share that with us?
Well, it wasn't necessarily during Advent. Christmas gifts, but we were about to talk about the Epiphany, but my parents always had like these gifts for us. We do gold, frankincense, and myrrh gift.
Oh, nice.
And so the gold gift always was some cash. The myrrh gift was always like some type of perfume or like, I don't know, like a body wash or something scented, you know? Or was that frankincense? Is frankincense usually the scent? Oh my goodness, sure. I'm getting mixed up in my mind.
It's okay.
And then the final gift was always some like religious thing. And so it'd either be like a bookmark that's got like our favorite Bible quote on it, or something of the like, you know. So that my parents, that they found that way to like incorporate like
that's so nice.
Christianity into the Christmas.
And that was season. Was that during the Epiphany where you got the three gifts?
Or yeah, that was just Christmas. Okay. Christmas Day is just another way to throw Jesus in there, you know? Mm-hmm. Not throw him, but like, you know what I mean.
But that would be a great idea as well for celebrating the Epiphany, right? Because the three kings have arrived.
Sure. Yeah. I like that.
And John Henry, you were talking about the Epiphany. Tell us more about that. There might be somebody that is not aware of that. So.
Okay, so we celebrate the Epiphany now, traditionally January 6th. Mm-hmm. And originally the Epiphany incorporated, I mean, this is revelation from above, sort of quite frankly what it means. So you have Theophany or Epiphany. And Theophany would be revelation from God. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? So we would celebrate the arrival of the three kings, the baptism of the Lord. We would celebrate the wedding at Cana. This would all be kind of in one feast. And that's split up over the years. And so Epiphany now is we're celebrating the arrival of the three wise men, of the three kings, to the Christ Jesus, you know, the infant. And I said normally or traditionally it's January 6th. If you were to look elsewhere in the world, it's January 6th. This year, it's on January 5th in the United States, as opposed to the 6th. It's always in the United States on a Sunday between the January 2nd and January 8th.
Okay.
Everywhere else, it's not on a Sunday.
So it
it's
falls
just whatever
on.
Day it falls on, that's the day it falls on. Whatever January 6th is, okay. That's Epiphany. I don't want to think I can pretend to be a bishop and know the thought process entirely.
Yeah.
But the decision was made because seemingly it would be very difficult for us to go to our regular Mass on a Sunday and then go back on a Monday with our work schedules and the such. So they said, we'll just force it onto a Sunday. That's very new. It's not like in the past. When I say we, I'm the corporate body of Christ, you know, the Catholic Church has placed its emphasis on worshiping Christ first, family next, work is very, very last, right? So whatever it takes, I'm going to Mass.
Yes.
Right, to get there for Epiphany.
Absolutely.
So there's, but I see that there's changes in the wind. I don't know if anyone's paid attention to when the Immaculate Conception is this year. Normally it's on December 8th. This year it's on December 9th.
Mm.
They moved it to Monday in order that we have our Advent Sunday.
Okay.
And we still celebrate the Immaculate Conception.
Nice.
So we are required to go to Mass, our regular Mass on Sunday. Our obligation stands. Mm-hmm. And we have an obligation to go on that Monday. So there seems to be a changing in the wind where maybe that emphasis of returning to those specific days and not saying, you know, it's going to be hard to make it on a Sunday, so let's do that. I think we're seeing a change where in the future we might celebrate the Epiphany again on January 6th.
Yeah. Well, I think when I hear obligation, people are probably like, oh my. I mean, what an opportunity to receive Jesus again and to be there and worship him. And when you think about it, when we go to Mass, usually it's an hour long. Can we not give 1 hour, you know, out of our day to the Lord and praise God for being Catholic, because there are many parishes, even if your home parish doesn't have a Mass at a specific time. Other ones do. They start as early as 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So there are so many opportunities to go. So it's just embracing that and saying, thank God we have the opportunity, you know, to receive Jesus.
Allison, I love that you brought up obligation, because we're also obligated to drink water. But yet nobody complains about that or thinks of that as some sort of burden. But yet it is an obligation for survival. So yes. The Holy Day of Obligation is like, it's like water.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We need it. It's good for us.
It is good for us. Yeah. It's an obligation for a reason. But, you know, we were talking about Epiphany just a second ago, and I had kind of a reality check a couple of weeks ago when I was reached out about a post I made on Facebook about the Epiphany and January 6th and how I was excited about this year's Epiphany, because I always love the Epiphany, but we just moved into our new house, so we're building new traditions, and I was thrilled about the Epiphany, and I just so happened to post it a couple weeks after the election, but it had nothing to do with that, and I got some very nasty text messages about that day was an attack on our democracy, and how could I talk about it as an Epiphany, and I but it was an opportunity to educate some of my fellow brothers and sisters that the Epiphany is actually a religious holiday, and they apologize for their blatant kind of attack on me, but it was fun.
You taught somebody something new.
I did.
Look at that. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't about that. It was just I didn't even think about that would be an upsetting day for people.
I would not have either. So, oh my, I learned something new too.
Yeah.
And it gets confusing when you change the dates on this too. And it does. Because obviously you're saying, hey, it's January 6th, mm-hmm. and it truly is. And we celebrate something called the 12 days of Christmas. We've kind of mentioned it a few times.
Yeah, I want to go over those.
So normally, you know, 12th night is Epiphany Eve. Mm-hmm. So January 5th would be the eve of Epiphany. This is kind of the end of that a celebratory time. It doesn't mean it's the end of the Christmas celebratory time, but the end of those 12 days. Well, this year, the 5th is Epiphany. So it kind of throws it off a little bit because your 12 days should conclude an Epiphany occurs. Mm-hmm. We kind of have it a little different this year where you have 11 days on your 12th day is Epiphany. Mm-hmm. So it throws off the 12 days of Christmas a little bit.
Yeah. Well, even that song, as we're talking about the 12 days of Christmas, I'd always heard it was related to our faith, right? And when I was looking over, I was like, oh my gosh, because I seriously did not know how it actually tied into our faith. And that's so sad to say, you know, being 49 years old. So absolutely amazing when you look at it. The partridge in a pear tree. The partridge symbolizes Jesus Christ, and the pear tree symbolizes the cross. I mean, every single one of these goes down and explains what it is. Were you all aware of all of those different descriptions of it?
So I knew the symbols behind, but it's a lot to like take in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to ask me, I would just stare at you blankly like this. Amazing, but I have read them before, and it's intense. I mean, obviously, like the a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah,
the tree, that's an obvious one, right? Because the tree of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start thinking of birds, and you've got to be thinking of the Holy Spirit, the dove,
yes,
the partridge,
yes.
Right? And it's food, the food of life, right? There's so many layers to every day.
Yeah,
that. Even if I was to try and recite every one, and I would not do them correctly if I did.
Well, we have it in front of us, so you could today.
But if I did, I think this is something you could meditate on so long and never quite get to the depth of like satisfaction, where you're like, mm-hmm. I don't have to think about this anymore. I've got it under control.
Yeah.
No.
Well, the richness of it. Yeah. And I mean, I remember my kids when they were in different class or they're singing, you know, carols at school, mm-hmm. they would sing this. And I mean, people fully understand like when Christmas starts and we go into the 12 days of Christmas afterwards. So they're doing all the little moves and the hand symbols. And when you look them over, I mean, it's absolutely amazing.
What about the Lords of Leaping?
Yes.
Tell me what the Lords of Leaping
are. Okay. Let's see here.
I've been leaping a lot in my life, and I'm curious what it means.
Ten Commandments. The 10 Lords of Leaping are the 10 Commandments.
Okay.
So I'm like, it's absolutely amazing when you go through here and look at that. 11 Pipers Piping. The 11 faithful apostles who remained faithful after Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. I mean, the 12 drummers drumming, the 12 points of doctrine in the Apostles' Creed. So it breaks everything down. And when you realize that, it's very rich.
Yeah.
So let's all, you know, sing this song and celebrate this after the Christmas day so we can celebrate Christmas season to the end, to the full end. And you know what's something else that's kind of interesting, too, when I was doing some research? Learning that Candlemas is also the presentation of our Lord. I did not know that that was one and the same.
So the presentation at the temple.
Yeah.
So he's older now, and they're taking him as a young man in order. This is what the firstborn son always does, mm-hmm. right? Mom and dad mm-hmm. take the firstborn because he's going to be given unto God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And something happens at the presentation, too, right?
Oh, yeah, Simeon.
Simeon, yeah. He's the priest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he has seen
Christ.
He's like a prophet, basically, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And so, yeah, that the presentation, I mean, now we're talking about the ultimate, this is the end of the Christmas
correct.
Season.
Like, correct.
This is it.
This
There's
is
any
it.
Decorations at this point, you take them down. It is. We are finished. We are definitely in ordinary time at this point. And if mm-hmm. if you're not familiar with that term, ordinary time is just a non-feast related. We're out of Advent. We're out of Christmas. Mm-hmm. We're not in Lent. We're not in Easter.
Correct.
It's just the
ordinary
regular
time.
Liturgical time of the church. So at Candlemas, and even that word, we should bring this up because we're talking about Christmas.
Yes.
There's a commonality between Christmas and Candlemas, right? Besides they both start with C, mm-hmm. they both end with Mass, M-A-S. And that's Mass. So Christmas is the Mass of Christ. Mm-hmm. Then you have Candlemas, the Mass of the candles. So we bless candles there. Mm-hmm. Throughout the year, you also have, well, actually, Advent normally started with Martin Mass.
Huh.
So St. Martin de Tours. That would be November 11th.
Okay.
It was the traditional time where it would be St. Martin's Lent. That's what became Advent. And then there's a Michael Mass in there somewhere, St. Michael.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I didn't even know all this.
I did not either.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So it's good to know kind of what the words mean.
Yeah.
Well, and then knowing the saints, too, are just throughout the year. You know, we have different feast days, and they all tie into beautiful, beautiful feast days. So it's really, really neat. Now, before our conversation, you have a book there, John Henry. I would love for you to introduce us to that book, because I had never seen it before.
Sure. So this is a book by Maria von Trapp. So if anyone remembers The Sound of
Sound
Music.
Sound of Music, yeah.
This
Such
is the character
movie.
That Julie Andrews
so
plays.
Amazing. Yes, yes.
Fantastic. It's a great family film. I remember watching it on TBS every year.
Yes, every year as a family.
Yes, absolutely.
I still love singing the songs.
Yep. So when they escaped from the Nazi regime to the United States, they actually did have a wonderfully talented singing family, so they toured and they sang. This was how they raised funds to grow. This is a large family. If you haven't seen the movie, there's a lot of kids in
it's
the family.
Amazing. Yes, yes.
You know, it's a big family. A good Catholic, large family. Mm-hmm. And so she wrote this book, and it's called Around the Year with the Von Trapp Family. And so if you're watching online and you're not doing it while you're driving, I'll hold it up here. This book, she actually documents all of their family traditions throughout the year, per the different feasts and festivals. So Advent, Christmas.
It's beautiful.
She writes recipes of the foods they would cook. There's sheet music in there of the songs that they would sing. Some of the games they would play with the children. So there is just an enormous amount of information. Great for a family. If you were looking for wonderful family-friendly traditions to start in your family, it's here.
There you go.
I mean, she put up her Christmas tree, Christmas Eve.
Wow.
She talks about the singing. She names the songs that they would come together and carol. Mm-hmm. The traditions of, like, that her husband would be the first to open the door into the living area where the Christmas tree was on Christmas Eve to let the family in. As the head of the household is the priest of the domestic church.
Mm-hmm.
So he's bringing in the family in to see.
Wow.
So they had these very specific, very particular actions that they understood why. It wasn't just because this is just the way we do it.
Correct.
There was an absolute reason behind everything.
Wow.
And it's a wonderful book. Very easy to read. She's a wonderful writer, in fact, and I would recommend this for anyone. So, Around the Year with the Von Trapp Family.
For Advent, was there any specific thing in that book that really jumped out to you that you really, really liked?
Yes, so in Advent, I think the very first thing I noticed, and I've mentioned it twice now, but it was they didn't put up the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Now, of course, when this book was written, because this is in the late 40s, early 50s, mm-hmm. I don't know about the level of Christmas lights in compared to 2024.
Oh, my.
Right? So, obviously, there's a whole, kind of a difference between the Christmas lights,
difference.
So to speak.
Yeah.
There was no mention here of putting up Christmas lights, an aspect of having the tree and having your house decorated.
Yeah.
She discusses certain foods that they would cook. They would avoid meat on certain days. She mentions fasting.
Mm-hmm.
They, as a family, would do particular events during Advent together in recognition of Christ coming, certain games and things to kind of get the kids focused on what is about to happen, because her kids were very, very young, mm-hmm. all the way to, I think, a few teenagers at this point. So she does. She mentions quite a few things, but I think that the Christmas tree was probably the one that popped out the yeah. most. Mm-hmm. The fact that she was like, and it just, the way she writes it, she doesn't say, you should do this.
Yeah.
It's very nonchalant, as if everyone does it this way.
Wow.
You know, we just all, everybody does it on Christmas Eve. There's not even an option of that. And at this time, I from what I can understand, mm-hmm. it was very, very typical in a Catholic household. Christmas Eve is when you would put it
yeah.
on.
I wonder when it changed. Or I wonder when in our society, you know, yeah. even with the...
Started to see a difference. Yeah.
yeah.
As soon as Halloween decorations come down, you throw up Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't yeah. know. So I...
That's I'm, what I've seen.
I might also be in my 40s. I'm not... Not comfortable. Yeah, I might also be in the 40s. When I was younger, that wasn't the case. You would not go to the store at the end of Halloween and immediately have Christmas. Now, the day after Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. it was out.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've definitely noticed in the past 20 years that has grown dramatically. I mean, but even then, we could go back 20, 25 years, I think, the day after Thanksgiving still is not what we would ideally want mm-hmm. him to be putting all the Christmas things out, although it's there.
Mm-hmm.
What we would want would be, you know, so you have your kind of Advent typical. Now, because this is Advent, you know, are we doing decorations? Not necessarily, right? Now, you have your manger out.
Mm-hmm.
You have an empty creche
mm-hmm.
because Christ has not arrived.
Correct.
But because this is a penitential season, we're not necessarily putting up banners and decorating in a joyous manner. And we're not sad. We're not depressed.
No.
You know, this is actually a time of pure anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful time. But we're not necessarily decorating in rejoicing of what's going to happen on Christmas Day mm-hmm. quite yet. Because on that Christmas Day, it's everything. Mm-hmm. Everything's out now. We have. It is time for the next 12 days. I will feast. I will celebrate. I'm going to proclaim that the good Lord has come and
yes.
victory is here. Right, the Savior has arrived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is with us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So, talking about the Advent wreath again. You know, some people might not have one yet, and they didn't start it. Can you kind of go over those four candles with us and what they signify? Because people can jump in at any time
yeah,
to
sure.
start if they haven't started already.
Sure. So, there's four candles in the Advent wreath. Usually, the Advent wreath is sitting on a table. You don't have it up on the wall or door,
yeah.
right? As opposed
mm-hmm.
to, so it's laying flat. And this could be an actual wreath. Sometimes something carved, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a wreath per se.
Yeah.
And it has four candles, three of which are purple, and one is rose. If you ever say pink, immediately a priest is going to slap your wrist and say, no, it's rose.
The reason it's rose because Jesus rose from the dead.
And so it's for every Sunday of Advent, we light one of these candles and it remains lit. You'll see this in Mass. You can have these at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as the legal representation, don't leave candles lit in your house when you're not
Correct.
At home.
Correct.
You know, so this is when you're at home and you're around candles. Or get one of the battery operated ones, I guess. But you would light on the first Sunday. So in early December, your first purple. And then second Sunday, your second purple. The third Sunday, the rose.
Mm-hmm.
This is Gaudete Sunday is what it's called. And it means to rejoice. And we're almost there at that home stretch. You know, we are so close. You can imagine yourself back to when you're in third or fourth grade mm-hmm. and you know Christmas vacation is almost there and you can just taste the fact that you will not be in school for a few weeks and you can't wait for it. And your parents are probably going crazy.
Oh my gosh, what's about to happen?
That level of that childhood desire, yeah. imagine that, but take that emotion and place it in your adult sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the anticipation that we should be having at that point
yeah.
where we're almost about to crawl out of our skin wanting to for Christ to arrive. And then on the fourth Sunday, it's the final of the purple candle is lit.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have all four lit. And there's some traditions where you could have a fifth in the middle, but normally traditional for us would just be the four.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful way to also kind of keep track in Advent
mm-hmm.
Of where you are, a reminder of that process, that
journey,
through waiting and desire.
Yeah. And I love it too at the different masses. A family will come up and they'll light the different candles. You know, we're a whole community. We're all one body of Christ going up there and doing that together. Yeah. So that is always nice to see too, bringing everybody together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what mass do you guys normally go to on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day?
What about you?
We go to Christmas Day. That's just what we've always done. So,
okay.
I don't know. I like Christmas Day Mass just because, like, oh yeah, it's like it is the day that Jesus is born. That we recognize Jesus is born. So why not go to Mass that day to celebrate? So the waiting is over, right?
Yeah.
When I was younger, we would go to the midnight Mass, and it was actually at midnight.
Okay.
So it was really hard as a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'd be falling asleep. I was an altar boy.
Oh.
I remember
falling asleep.
Being like falling asleep, you know, and almost falling over out of the chair, because I, you know, after midnight as a, you know, 10-year-old or 11-year-old, that's hard.
It is.
Quite the opposite now. I go to usually Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm asleep by probably 8:30 or 9, and it's really hard for me to stay up that late.
You are anticipating Christmas Day.
Yeah,
or you're just the age.
The only day of the year I make it up that late is Easter Vigil. And,
okay.
And it is such a hard day and hard morning. But for Christmas Eve, I am still probably asleep by 8:30 or 9. But in the morning, I am there. It's a wonderful Mass. It is a holy day of obligation for us. So it is one of those days that we must be either at the vigil or at Christmas Day itself, which makes sense, right? Because we love Christ. We want to be there for his birthday.
And again, it's an opportunity. I mean, we're called to go, but again, when you know who you're receiving, that's the key. And you know what? If somebody doesn't truly know who they're receiving, what a beautiful time right now during Advent to, you know, increase the prayers or to start to pray or to read scripture to get yourself ready for him. Today's the perfect day if you're not doing that, you know?
Absolutely
the perfect day.
I mean, and when you understand the Mass, you know, the Mass's primary purpose is to glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
So when you keep that in your heart, that you're not there for you.
No.
You're there to give unto God.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, what awesomeness is it that on the day that he reveals himself to the world, that you're there to give him the ultimate honor and glory. You know?
And I love hearing you say that we're there to worship him. It's not about us. Because a lot of people might look at, you know, different services in other churches and other denominations, and it's a lot different. So in reality, we're going to worship the Lord. It's going to be different from other ones. You know, there's a different type of worship, but it glorifies God tremendously.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. Yes.
And be kind to all those that are going to Mass, right? We encounter many people that haven't been to Mass all year, or maybe were there, you know, last Easter.
Yeah.
So just knowing that we are called to resemble Christ and to be Christ to others all the time.
Which means, I will just throw this out there, you made me think of something. Be kind to parents with little kids.
Oh, yes.
Oh, for sure.
During this time. You know, we don't want to keep little kids away from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, at this time of year with late Masses or super early Masses, you might have some kids that are like, I would rather be at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be a little rambunctious.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's okay. Christ loves us all, and it's not going to distract you from your worship of Christ if there's a little person that's a little loud.
Amen. And who said it? I think there was a quote, a church that's not crying is a church that's dying.
Yeah. Yep, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I've heard that too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think it's time for us to grab one of these sticks with a question for each of us.
Yeah. And Allison, you'll grab one for yourself and me. You'll read mine.
Oh, Julian. Oh, my gosh.
So we usually give them a moment to kind of gather their thoughts.
Here's one for
you. So you can read mine.
Let's figure out which one I'm going to let Julian have.
All right. But yeah, we're at about 2 minutes, so they are going to be quick answers.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead and read mine to me if you
Julian,
want.
Okay, Julian, what kind of car would you like to have?
Well, that's a good question. I actually have the car that I'd like to have, and that is a Tesla. It was a graduation present, which I'm very thankful for. It's an awesome car.
Nice.
I have the car.
So you have the car you would like to have.
I do, yes.
Do I read the next one to you as well?
You know what? Sure. Unless, why don't you read that one for yourself and you answer it?
Well, what kind of education would I like to have? Well, I already have half a degree from Georgia State University, and happy with that.
Well, fantastic.
But always wanted to
be. I also have a degree I want to have, so
that's
funny.
I love it. Okay, John Henry, what about you?
What is my favorite ice cream? Mint chocolate chip.
Oh, I like that, too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Good that's call. Not the best.
Oh.
Mint and chocolate don't mix.
I have an unbeliever here.
I'm glad you like it, though. Yeah.
What about you, Maria?
I'll eat it all. You don't have to. Yeah. Yeah.
Maria, what about you?
I'll make that sacrifice for you.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, please do.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you have, Maria?
Mine is, where would you like to visit? And then where is your favorite place you've been? Where I would like to visit is Ankeny, Iowa, because that's where my fiancé is at. Mm-hmm. But where my favorite place I've been is... probably St. Louis, Missouri, when I went to Seek 23.
Okay.
Probably takes the cake.
Well, wonderful. And again, I'm glad to be here today with you all on Honest to God.
Thank you.
Talking about this wonderful season, Advent, and then knowing that Christmas ends after Christmas Day.
Yes.
We still have more time left.
Praise be.
We're done. Yeah. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.